Coming up on Simply Superior.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
Our election coverage continues with a look at the hotly contested race for Minnesota's 8th Congressional District.
I'm known in St. Paul for working across the aisle. I'm also known as a problem solver. I enjoy helping my constituents. And the reason I'm running for Congress is to do that in D.C.
Plus, a country version of Led Zeppelin? It's one of the many talents of Barron's Chris Crazy, taking him to a national stage. Those stories and regional news and review after this.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
Wait, Led Zeppelin gone country? It's one of the many talents of Barron's Chris Crazy, taking him to a national stage.
Way down inside, honey, you need.
But first, our election coverage continues with a look at the hotly contested race for Minnesota's 8th Congressional District.
I'm known in St. Paul for working across the aisle. I'm also known as a problem solver. I enjoy helping my constituents. And the reason I'm running for Congress is to do that in D.C.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We continue our series of interviews for candidates in the November 8th election, this time looking at the race to represent Minnesota's 8th Congressional District. That includes all of Duluth and northeastern Minnesota and stretches west to Brainerd and south to the Twin Cities exurbs. The two candidates are the Republican incumbent, Pete Stauber. He lives in Hermantown and was previously a St. Louis County Commissioner and Duluth police officer, and much earlier, a college and professional hockey player. His challenger is Jen Schultz, who has represented Duluth's District 7A in the Minnesota House of Representatives since 2015. She's originally from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, and is an economics professor at the University of Minnesota Duluth. She lives in Duluth with her husband and two sons. Congressman Stauber declined our invitation to appear on this broadcast, so we will hear only from Representative Schultz, and she joins me now. We'll begin with an opening statement, which we ask you to keep to 2 minutes. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Representative Schultz.
Thank you. Thank you, Robin, for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here. I just want to reiterate that, yes, I'm running for Congress. This is the District 8, which is a very large district. It's about a third of the state. I've spent 8 years in the Minnesota House of Representatives, representing the east half of the city of Duluth. My day job, because being a legislator in Minnesota is part-time, is I teach economics at UMD. I have two boys. They just turned 14 and 12, and my husband works at UMD as well, and he's a criminologist, so I learn a lot about policing. My expertise is healthcare, and I've been working on healthcare reform for over 20 years. And I've had a very successful career in the state legislature. I've only served in a divided legislature, meaning one party did not have complete control. So I'm known in St. Paul for working across the aisle, working with other electeds to get things done. I'm also known as a problem solver. I enjoy solving problems and helping my constituents. And the reason I'm running for Congress is to do that in D.C., get through the polarization, work across the aisle to get things done for all the communities and all of the people across the Great 8th District. And my opponent, Pete Stauber, has accomplished nothing in his four-year career. In his first term, Republicans controlled everything, and he brought nothing back to the district. And I'm hearing from so many people that he's not effective, and they just want someone to work on issues. They really want their children to be able to get educated in the 8th, to buy a house, find a good job with good benefits in the 8th, and be close to their grandchildren and retire in the 8th. And we need to bring back our rural communities to make sure everyone's thriving. I've traveled all over the district. I've been to I Falls at least 6 times, up to Bedette and Lake of the Woods, which the Northwest Angle is now in the 8th district. I've visited with all of the tribal leaders and councils. There's 7 Anishinaabe tribes in the district now. And there's just a real demand and need for someone that's going to go to DC and be effective. And I'm excited about it. I'm meeting wonderful people, and I'm seeing beautiful places throughout the district. And I'm excited to get to work. So I hope people remember to vote on November 8th, or they could vote early. And they check out our website, JenSchultzForCongress.com. What I enjoy most is solving problems, listening to issues, and what I've heard from the constituents across the district is that, one, they definitely need affordable housing, affordable childcare, and affordable health care. And they want us to invest in transportation, roads and bridges, broadband, internet, and good public schools. That's what is attracting a lot of people to the 8th. And we need to make sure we're keeping people in the 8th and we're bringing new people to the 8th.
All right. Thank you, Jen Schultz. And now the questions. How do we keep our schools and communities safe in the wake of deadly school shootings? And how can this be accomplished while balancing Second Amendment rights?
Well, I'm a strong supporter of Second Amendment rights. Everybody in my family grew up deer hunting. We had a rifle case in the dining room. But I also hear from a lot of parents who are very concerned and scared for their children and loved ones in schools and other places with the increase in mass shootings. And, you know, we had a 10-year ban on assault-style military weapons. And after that ban was lifted, we saw a very high percentage increase in mass shootings with those types of weapons. So there's a real appetite across the 8th in Minnesota and the country. There's a lot of support for legislation, common sense legislation that addresses gun violence. And when I was in the Minnesota House, I passed a legislation off the House floor. It didn't become law because it was not supported in the Republican-controlled Senate. And it's common sense things like universal background checks, red flag laws, and safe storage. And many of those bills were passed at the federal level with bipartisan support. So it's really important that we address gun violence at all angles. We had a close call in Duluth in my district, and somebody showed up with guns in their car, and a concerned loved one called the Duluth police, and they responded and addressed the situation. But we just had gun violence recently yesterday. So we have to do something. And I think folks in Congress are motivated to do that.
And thank you, Jen Schultz. With this reversal of Roe versus Wade, the United States Supreme Court returned the abortion issue to the states. That means abortion is allowed in Minnesota, but isn't in neighboring Wisconsin. Democrats have proposed that Congress codify the right to an abortion nationwide, but that won't happen if they lose the majority in either house. If that effort isn't successful, what specific measure would you propose to address that patchwork of different laws?
Well, it's an equity issue, first of all. It's a right we've had for 50 years. When I'm in Congress, I'll codify Roe v. Wade. I'm a strong supporter of access to abortion, and we need to make sure that we don't go backwards in this country. And there's strong support for reproductive rights in this country and rights to contraception, because my opponent voted against rights to contraception and abortion with no exceptions. And he's a co-sponsor of the national ban with no exceptions. So it's an issue. And I'll just tell folks, Republicans are saying that it's in the Minnesota Constitution, that it's not on the ballot. That is absolutely false. It was a court case. What is in the Minnesota Constitution is the right to privacy, not a right to abortion. So if we had different Supreme Court justices, which the governor appoints when there's openings, a new case could come before them. We could have legislation, which is introduced every year I've been in the Minnesota House and introduced in the Minnesota Senate, to change and make it more difficult to access reproductive care. And so I just want people to know that who you elect matters. It's definitely on the ballot in Minnesota, and you really need to do the research to understand the facts. But I'm a strong supporter of reproductive freedom and protecting the rights that people have fought for a long time. I'm definitely not going to, we're not going to move backwards in this country, because it's about really the woman's health issue. And I do not want politicians in my doctor's office telling my doctor how to treat my healthcare concerns.
Thank you again. Since the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, we've seen gas prices go down, only to start creeping back up again, even before the Saudis announced they would cut production. September also saw inflation jump by 8.2%, which by some measurements is the highest since 1982. Why are we not seeing more immediate results from the act? And since you're an economist, what would you propose to put the brakes on inflation that your party didn't do?
Well, you know, we saw gas prices come down 99 straight days in a row. The Federal Reserve Bank is acting by tightening things and increasing the interest rate to slow down the economy and to address price increases. But, you know, what's really underlying this is you see two countries, Saudi Arabia and Russia, decreasing the production of oil. So they're limiting the supply, and that's what's leading to this new small increase in gas prices. So we have to address things that we can. You know, the U.S. is a large exporter of petroleum. You have private companies exporting petroleum. I think we could put pressure on those companies to keep oil in the U.S. so we can see prices come down again in terms of gas prices. There's been a lot of consolidation and market concentration and power of these very few corporations that control things like our food prices. So I think we need to look at antitrust again and strengthen antitrust to look at mergers and consolidations, because this concentration gives them the ability to raise prices at will. And when there's fewer substitutes, it's a problem for everybody who's on limited income, middle-income families. And as an economist, I understand quite a bit about that, and tariffs and trade policy, which we have to look at as well to help with rising prices. But one person, you know, they're blaming Biden a lot, and the president has very little control. It's a lot of the agencies, Department of Justice, that looks at antitrust, and people in Congress to go after legislation to make sure that there's not concentrated market power. I'm a believer in free markets, but we also have things like public utilities, because there's market failures in the economy, and that's when the government can be very helpful to address market failures.
Okay. Numerous studies have found Minnesota and Wisconsin consistently at the bottom of states when it comes to racial disparities, specifically between blacks and whites, in quality of life issues such as home ownership and education. What is one piece of legislation or specific measure you would take to begin to close that gap?
Well, we have to have more investments in public schools and education, starting from pre-K. There's a lot of research in economics that shows high rates of return for early education, and it really gives people more opportunities and advantages to receive that early education. We need to look at the disparities. Minnesota, we have large achievement gaps, disparity gaps. We, you know, I teach public finance as well in college, and my students learned for the first time, and they're in college, about redlining and racial covenants, and, you know, what the barriers were for people of color to buy a house. And that was true in the Twin Cities. And they're just learning this for the first time. They were really upset that they had not learned about these inequities and injustices earlier in their lives. So it was a real eye opener for them. So I think we need to educate folks. But, you know, when I've been in the state legislature, the last two terms, we were very intentional. Every piece of legislation, everything, even the bonding bill, capital investment bills, we used an equity lens to make sure we were addressing equity issues and disparities. And that was a real game changer in how we thought of bills, what the summaries of the bills were, because we looked at, is this going to address inequity, make inequity worse? And I know that's going to continue into the future. So there's a lot of motivation. We have a very diverse DFL caucus in the Minnesota House, and that has been wonderful in having champions there for people of color, and sharing their stories, because when they share their stories, it helps get legislation passed with bipartisan support. So every person from every party understands the importance of addressing inequities.
Thank you. Mining in Minnesota, including for precious metals, pits environmentalists in Duluth against workers on the Iron Range who say they need the jobs and investment. What is something specific you would propose legislatively that would satisfy both camps?
Well, I've been talking to all groups, pro-miners, pro-environmentalists, labor groups, the tribal members, and the mining has been a very divisive issue in Northeast Minnesota. And even though we have a long history, 100 years of taconite mining, but one thing everyone agrees on is that we cannot pollute the water. No one wants to pollute the water. So we start there. So how, when, where we mine, we cannot pollute the water. That's the problem we have to solve. And things that gets litigated, you know, they take it to court because it violates their ceded territory rights, and it gets dragged on. So we need to figure out how we're going to do that. We are very fortunate to have an RRI, a research institute affiliated with the University of Minnesota Duluth. They have 4 ways to treat the water to take the sulfates out. So if we do mining, any type of mining, and when we do mining, we do it so it doesn't pollute the water. But my opponent has failed to make the investment in this research and technology and science, which is what they need to scale this up. And they're testing it now on wastewater treatment facilities. But he has done nothing to bring back federal funds to scale these technologies up. So that is a priority, is we need to invest in the science to solve the problem of if, when, where we do mining, we do it safely. So I'm excited to do that when I'm in Congress, but also we need to bring more jobs to Northeast Minnesota. So we need to, we should be manufacturing steel. We should be recycling copper and steel on the Iron Range. And I've been meeting with some energy experts about something new to bring manufacturing back. There's something called the Iron Air battery, and it's a very large battery that stores energy from solar and wind turbines. And that can be manufactured on the range. So when I am elected, I'm already working on it as a candidate, but I want to bring a manufacturing facility so we can make these Iron Air batteries on the range, because it takes iron ore. And mining taconite is something we've been doing for a long time. But I'm going to make an investment. I'm going to bring everyone to the table, all stakeholders, figure out how to solve these problems, get buy-in from everybody, and then move forward. This has to happen. This can no longer be a divisive issue. We just need a champion. I'm willing to be that champion to bring everybody to the table and figure this out.
And thank you. Very similar concerns and controversies rage over oil pipelines in the region, with the added issue that the oil they're moving is one way to strengthen America's energy independence, which we can feel in gas prices. If the pipelines are not allowed, the oil is going to ship anyway. Are you confident that shipping oil in train cars, which have had serious accidents, is safer than pipes in the ground?
Well, this is what I know from the research. Rail is not as safe as pipelines, but we have a lot of unsafe railroad crossings. I just was meeting with White Earth, and they have such a crossing on their reservation that they're worried about. So we need to make sure those railroad crossings are safe. We need to make sure that where pipelines are placed, that they are not harmful to the environment. And I was a real proponent of removing the old pipelines before they put new pipelines in. But we need to make sure we're not destroying the aquifers. I know that there are 3 aquifers that were disrupted for Line 3. We just need to be more careful and more cautious about using pipelines. But I'm told that they're apparently safer than rail. So that's what I'm learning. And I'm still learning new information about pipelines. But I know that rail is not as safe as pipelines.
Thank you. And our final question. Many, if not most, voters are frustrated by gridlock and political parties refusing to work with one another. What's a cause dear to your opponent or his party that you would be willing to embrace?
Well, I'll just say this. You know, I voted against my own party. I am voting for what's good for the people. So that's my priority. It's always been the people I represent. In fact, I'm not even taking any corporate PAC money. I'm taking money from individuals, mostly in Minnesota in the 8th District. I'm spending all of our campaign money in Minnesota. My opponent takes a lot of money, over $1 million, from corporate interests and corporations and PAC money. And a lot of his money, most of it, is spent outside Minnesota on political consultants. I'm committed to voting and representing the people in the district and working hard for them. And I worked with people from all parties in Minnesota. For instance, we have a group of new Republicans in the Minnesota House. I worked with Jeremy Munson on opposing reinsurance. This was a policy to give $1 billion to private health insurance plans with no guarantee that they would bring down premiums. I wanted to give those discounts directly to the people of Minnesota, and he joined me in that, and we worked on that issue. And I've gotten all of my bills passed with bipartisan support. And so the issues I care about, and I know Republicans, I hope, care about them, but is health insurance. Health costs are outstripping our ability to pay for our health care. And that's just not right. Everyone should have access to good quality health care. And I know I've worked with a lot of Republicans in the Minnesota House and Senate on trying to get there. And this year I passed legislation. Minnesota is the first state and only state to fix what's called the family glitch in the Affordable Care Act, because affordability was defined based on individual coverage. And most people get family coverage who have families through their employer. And if it's not affordable, if it's more than 9.8% of your income, you're eligible, if you meet other eligibility requirements, to buy the Minnesota Care product, a product we've had for over 30 years. But everybody should have access to affordable health care. And I know I can find some champions, regardless of party, on that issue, because it's becoming one of the top concerns for so many families across Minnesota and across the country.
And thank you again. We've been speaking with State Representative Jen Schultz of Duluth. She's the Democratic candidate to represent Minnesota's 8th Congressional District in the November 8th election. Thank you for joining us, Jen Schultz.
Thank you so much, Robin. Have a great day.
Coming up, his roots in Barron are country, but he brings that sound to our music. We'll catch up with Chris Cruzy.
I shouldn't be so hard on the reflection that I see. I shouldn't listen to what people say about me. You've been telling me you needed a little time for you.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. So if you grow up in Barron, Wisconsin, the type of music you probably listen to is, well, country, since it is out in the country. But if you perform it, you might let other genres sneak in. And if you're Barron's Chris Cruzy, that might turn out to be pretty popular. It certainly was the case on The Voice a few years ago, when he made it to the finals with country-flavored covers of various styles of pop hits. But you don't have to turn on your TV to find him. He's playing right here in our area at the West Theater in Duluth next Thursday. And he joins me now. Welcome to Simply Superior, Chris Cruzy.
Hey, how's it going?
So when I first heard you were playing at the West, I asked the theater owner, Bob Boone, about getting in touch with you. And he said I'd have to call you pretty early before you head out to feed the cows. So what time did you get up?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not certainly feeding the cows, but I do like to get my day started fairly early.
All right, so Bob was buying into stereotypes. You're not the person responsible for the cows.
No, we've got kids. Once you've got young kids, they get up in the morning, and I have a time sleeping past 6:30. So.
All right, well, you know what? That's a bigger commitment than cows.
Yeah.
Tell us about your musical training. What instrument did you first pick up, and what was the style back then?
So, my mom and dad bought me a guitar for my 6th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just kind of latched onto it. My dad played a little bit sitting around campfires when we were camping as kids and whatnot. And he showed me 3 chords, maybe 4, 3 or 4 chords. and showed me kind of a little bit of the beginning of a Willie Nelson song, or a Willie Nelson rendition of a song, I guess, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
All right.
When I was 6 years old, and, you know, I was just obsessed with the guitar. It was what I wanted to do as soon as I woke up, and what I wanted to do right when I got done with school. And my dad had this big stereo in the basement of our house with these big, like, homemade, big, huge cab boxes for speakers and a tape player and the EQ and all that. And all these cassette tapes that I had access to. And, you know, it was anything from Hank Sr. and Patsy Cline, Waylon, Willie, and Johnny Cash, and June Carter, but also like AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, Ted Nugent, Led Zeppelin, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. That was the music that existed, because my parents bought a little spot in the woods when I was a baby and built a house in there. And there's no cable. We had the antenna. Didn't really work. You know, you could listen to the radio, but that didn't always come out super good either. And so, I mean, I had these cassette tapes. And so I just started going through them and listening to pretty much every single one of them. You know, I loved like the classic country and all that. But the stuff that really drove me to pursue guitar was like the Lynyrd Skynyrd tape, mm-hmm. You know, anything that was I could hear the guitar prominently on. I wanted to try and figure out what they were playing and how they were playing.
All right. Well, I know a lot of your repertoire is covers, and of course you've got original music too. I guess that leads us into the voice. You're the second guest in a row, by the way, we've had who's been on. Last week we had Preston Gunderson, originally from The Range, who's done that show and then went on to American Idol. But you came close to winning it all. So tell us how that came to be, and tell us again the repertoire. They demand covers, or you know, how's that work?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways that you can get on there. You can go to the open call auditions. You know, you stand in a line with thousands of other people and hopefully get to sing in front of, you know, a producer or something. But mm-hmm. Mine was a little different. I'd been posting videos and on, you know, Facebook and YouTube and pretty much anywhere you could post them. And one of their producers, I guess, came across one and thought I'd be a good fit for the show, and they reached out that way.
Mm-hmm. And what was that piece?
I have no clue.
You don't know what he listened to?
No.
Even to this day, this was about 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just all I know is that they had got a hold of my phone number and called me and left a voicemail and... Yeah, just kind of that's how it started.
All right. We're speaking with Chris Cruzy of Baron. He'll be performing at the West Theater in Duluth this coming Thursday, October 27th. And, well, you said you don't know what song it was that got the person's attention. But were you doing mostly covers back then, or original work, or what?
I had recorded one single down in Nashville at that point. But, I mean, yeah, most of it was covers. Mm-hmm. At that point, yeah.
Well, let's hear one of your covers. One of those covers is, of course, Whole Lot of Love. And you mentioned Led Zeppelin being one of your influences on those cassette tapes way back when. When you do it, when Chris Cruzy does it, is it still a rock song or does it become country?
It's still a rock song. You know, I write country music and a lot of the stuff I play comes out really country music. But I love just good music in general. And so... rock is still a huge part of my life.
All right, we won't let labels get in the way. So let's hear Whole Lot of Love by Chris Cruzy. that was Whole Lotta Love, yes, the Led Zeppelin song, and I think it's country flavored, by Chris Cruzy. He'll be appearing at the West Theater in Duluth next Thursday, October 27th. So probably going from your covers to an original tune, one of your biggest original hits is Human, which has made it on Billboard's Hot 100 and iTunes Top 5. Tell us about this song.
Yes, I recorded this actually prior to being on The Voice. I had a five-song EP, I think it was, ready to go before I went on to the show. And the reasoning behind that was I had kind of figured, you know, if we're going to go do this big TV thing, then we better have, you know, a product. And so I went to Nashville and I recorded this EP. And it just so happened that I made it to the finale of the show. And when you make it to the finale, if you're, I think, the top four, you get to perform an original song.
Mm-hmm. And, so it's all covers until the finale.
Yep. And, you know, I pushed really hard for them to use this song because it's the only time in The Voice history that someone has brought in a song that they had already done. Normally what they do is they have songwriters that pitch you the songs and then you record them in their studio in LA and all that. But this one I had already done. And so 40 hours of paperwork later, we were cleared to perform it on TV.
Well, here is Human by Chris Cruzy.
Down on our way home back.
And that was Human by Chris Cruzy of Barron, Wisconsin. He'll be appearing at the West Theater in Spirit Valley in Duluth next Thursday, October 27th. Human is on Billboard's Hot 100, or has made it to that, in iTunes Top 5. You've also made it on iTunes Rock Chart. What song was that?
That was second to last episode, I think, of The Voice. We recorded a cover of Sweet Home Alabama, of all things. Mm-hmm. And people streamed it crazy, and it made it into that high chart on the iTunes there.
All right, let's hear a bit of that performance.
Big wheels keep on turning.
And that was a snippet of the voice performance of Sweet Home Alabama by Chris Cruzy. Other than TV shows and YouTube videos, tell us where we can learn more about your music.
You can, follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, all these social medias that I don't fully understand. I'm on all of them. Head to my website, chriscruzymusic.com. Find me on Spotify and Apple Music and Google Play, Amazon streaming service, anywhere you can stream music. Just got a few of my songs put on the Touch Tunes jukebox in the bars, so check those out.
All right, that's Chris Cruzy's song to take us out.
Why don't we do Better on a Boat?
Okay, and what's Better on a Boat, literally and figuratively? What's it about?
It's just all about all those good times that we get in this upper Midwest, that are slammed into the 3 months of awesome weather that we have.
That one definitely is Wisconsin flavored, and Barron, Wisconsin flavored at that. All right, we've been speaking with Chris Cruzy of Barron. He'll be appearing at the West Theater in Spirit Valley in Duluth next Thursday, October 27th, and he might play this one. Better on a Boat. Thank you for joining us, Chris Cruzy.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've been telling me you needed a little time for you and me, and saying that we gotta find a way to beat the heat. Pour yourself a cold one, I got a good idea. Hooking up the trailer, baby, and getting out of here. Let's do this.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and we're joined by Rick Lubbers of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Danielle Kading of WPR News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, we just heard from a state legislator hoping to move to Congress representing Northeast Minnesota. One of her Democratic colleagues on the Wisconsin side, who isn't running again, is facing some serious issues following a fatal car accident.
That's right, Robin. The father of a five-year-old girl who died in a car crash involving Democratic Senate Minority Leader Janet Buley has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the lawmaker. And that lawsuit was filed last Friday in Ashland County Circuit Court by Brandon Fink, who is the father of Khaleesi Fink, who died with her mother, Alyssa Ortman, in July. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported this week that that lawsuit named Buley and three other insurance companies as defendants. Ashland County District Attorney David Meany says his office is still reviewing that case, but he had no timeline on when he will make a decision on whether charges will be filed.
Senator Buley is vacating her seat, and it's long been in Democratic hands, but Republicans think they can reverse that.
That's right. Republicans are hoping to flip three open seats this November. Representative Nick Milroy of South Range, Representative Beth Myers of Bayfield, and as you said, Senate Minority Leader Janet Buley of Mason all announced earlier this year that they would not run again. And these three districts have been Democratic strongholds for decades. Even so, these three lawmakers have faced more competitive races in recent years. They came through in 2020. Representative Nick Milroy saw the closest race of his legislative career, winning by just 139 votes in 2020 against Republican challenger Keith Kern. Beth Myers, who represents Northwestern Wisconsin, she won by around 1,000 votes against challenger James Bolin, Republican challenger James Bolin. And what we've seen is within these districts that the counties that are contained within them have, by thousands of voters, voted in favor of candidates like President Donald Trump and former Governor Scott Walker, as opposed to the Democratic candidates, President Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers. And the same also rings true in the 25th Senate District, where in 2018 we saw nearly 12,000 more votes for Walker in counties contained within the 25th Senate District over those who voted for Governor Evers. And so these districts are trending more conservative. And a UW Superior Political Science professor, Elisa Von Hagel, says one or more of them may flip in November, as Republicans tend to have greater turnout during midterm elections. And she also cited voter concerns over inflation and economic challenges heading into November, but added that Democrats have been trying to motivate voters to head to the polls over abortion rights and the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Well, one sign of that competitiveness is the 2020 election, which regionally was carried by Donald Trump, but there were 20,000 or so votes for Joe Biden, which even again, if that didn't carry the region for him, it actually was about his margin of victory in Wisconsin.
That's right, Robin.
Well, Rick, Enbridge Energy continues to be in the news, this time facing a multi-million dollar fine due to his Line 3 project.
Yes, it is. Enbridge Energy will pay $11 million to the state of Minnesota and the indigenous band after a series of aquifer breaches during the construction of its Line 3 oil pipeline across northern Minnesota last year. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and Department of Natural Resources on Monday said the money would be spent on penalties, ongoing monitoring, environmental projects, and financial assurances for three aquifer breaches near Enbridge Clearwater Terminal, LaSalle Creek in Hubbard County, and just west of the Fond du Lac Reservation. The MPCA also found Enbridge violated a series of regulations and requirements, including discharging construction stormwater into wetlands and inadvertently releasing drilling mud into surface waters at 12 locations between June 8 and August 5 of 2021. Additionally, the Office of Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison on Monday announced Enbridge admitted to the January 21 breach in Clearwater County. Out of that $11 million, $1.45 million will go to the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Another $2.4 will go to the state of Minnesota, and $2.6 million to fund environmental projects and affected watersheds along Line 3.
Well, a less controversial construction project is the rehabilitation of the old county jail in Duluth into residences. How's that coming along?
Coming along nicely. The former St. Louis County Jail on West 2nd Street in Duluth will be renamed Leona and will be repurposed as a 33-unit apartment building. Leona is a Finnish word for lion, and developer Megan Elliott said the building draws the inspiration for its name and logo from some of the ornamentation on the structure's granite facade. Built originally in 1924, the 93-cell jail was designed to hold up to 100 inmates. The steel bars of the cells not only kept prisoners confined, but also provided support for the building. And as those cells were removed to open up the floor plan for this project, new structural supports had to be installed. Some of the original steel bars have been strategically retained as decor and a link to the building's history, but Elliott said about 200 tons of steel have been removed from the former jail as it was dismantled and reconfigured. Leona's website markets the apartments with the slogan, "From Jailhouse to Your House." The over $8 million project is being completed with the help of historic tax credits that require the renovation to be finished by the end of this year. To meet that goal, about 40 workers have been on site daily to push the building across the finish line. And Leona has already received more than 100 inquiries from interested renters. And Elliott said she remains optimistic the building will be fully occupied when it opens.
Who would have thought 100 people are interested in moving to the jail, but it won't be a jail. So we've had stories about delays on the Wisconsin side to 911 calls. St. Louis County in Minnesota is addressing a related issue.
Yes, they are. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office has joined a national effort to make it easier for bystanders to provide potentially life-saving assistance for people experiencing cardiac arrest. The county on Tuesday announced a partnership with Pulse Point, which is a nonprofit foundation that offers a free smartphone app that is integrated with local 911 dispatch systems. Now, when an emergency call is going to be placed for possible cardiac arrest, a 911's communication specialist will not only dispatch first responders, but an automatic alert will be sent out to anyone who has downloaded the Pulse Point Respond app and is located within approximately a quarter mile of the reported location. Officials say it will allow anyone who is trained in CPR to provide immediate assistance. And the app also provides information on nearby automated external defibrillators, which can be found in many public buildings, schools, and businesses. The Pulse Point Respond app can be found in iPhone App Store and on Google Play.
All right. We've been speaking with Rick Lubbers, executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of Chris Cruzy. Stay safe, everyone.
I had a dream about a burning house. You were stuck inside, I couldn't get you out. I laid beside you and pulled you close. The two of us went up in smoke. Love isn't all that it seems, I did you wrong. I'll stay here with you.